This morning I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 through 17. If you want to find that spot and just put your finger there, we will get to it in a few minutes. The title of the sermon this morning is, You Are a Chosen Generation. You are a chosen generation. And this is also going to be our Independence Day message, so I wish you a happy Independence Day. And you know how I like to share history. There's a lot of history being made this week, isn't there? None of it any good. But I do like to share history around the holidays so that we understand why we celebrate what we do. And this year I'm going to focus on our Constitution. Did you know the United States Constitution was preceded by a document known as the Articles of Confederation? Kind of ironic with all the talk going on early in the week, isn't it? I wonder if maybe England might still see our flag as a symbol of hatred. You think? Anyway, this document gave way to what eventually came to be known as our Constitution after only a few years, three or four, I believe, because it gave so much power to the individual states. It was virtually impossible to accomplish anything because the states couldn't agree on anything. And the majority of them had to agree before they could pass anything, and they couldn't get a majority to agree, so they knew that there's something else that had to be done. So a group known as the Federalists called for a convention to amend and or replace the Articles of Confederation, which eventually resulted into our Constitution, but not before more opposition came from a group known as the Anti-Federalists, which was led by a gentleman named Patrick Henry. He argued that a strong national government would be a threat to the rights of individuals and that the president might soon become a king. You know, honestly, I think I can see what he was talking about. I can see the logic in his argument. So even though five states had already ratified the new Constitution, Mr. Henry and the Anti-Federalists carried their concerns to the convention in Massachusetts, where finally, after much debate, a few fisticuffs, small skirmish or two, a compromise known as the Massachusetts Compromise was reached. So the Constitution was to be amended with a Bill of Rights. Four of the next five states included like language in their ratification process also. So Congress eventually sent 12 amendments. I think they started out with 20-something. I think they got it down to 17, and one or the other of the two houses got it down to 12. They sent the 12 amendments to the states for approval. 10 were ratified and became known as, anyone? Our Bill of Rights. That's right. Do any of us know any of those amendments? Do first and second? Do any of us know all of them? That's a question, isn't it? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we as citizens of this country possibly know what our Constitution says? If we don't, how will we know when it's being violated? If we don't know what the Bill of Rights say, how will we know if they're adhering to the Bill of Rights? How will we know if we have an argument to stand on? As I said, and somebody else said, we probably all know the first two, don't we? First two. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's Amendment 1. We all know that one. So many people say that that was put in place to protect the government from the church, and it never was. It was to protect the church from the government. So it would be important if we knew these, wouldn't it? A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We all know those two. Well, that's the third. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered at any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. It was important at the time, might still be important someday that we know that one. I don't know that I'm going to read them all. I have them all on here. The right to peoples to be secure in their persons, houses, and papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizures. They just cannot kick your door down for no reason. Yet they do. But it's important for us to know that they can't, that we have rights. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of an indictment of a grand jury. And you can't be tried twice for the same crime. 6. All criminal prosecutions. The accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. We're supposed to be innocent until found guilty, right? What the law says. In suits at common law, number 7, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the rights of a trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court in the United States than according to the rules of common law. Amendment 8, excessive bail shall not be required, excessive fines not imposed. I think that young couple that didn't want to make a cake for somebody that was wanting to have a same-sex marriage, I think that their fines were kind of excessive. Number 9, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed or to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Number 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution are prohibited by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That would mean that if we vote for something and we say we don't want it, they can't say we do. It's important to know these things. You know, since then, 17 more amendments have been added to our Constitution, but these 10 are still called the Bill of Rights. 17 more have been added over the years. Ironically, I think it's ironic. The last one added in 1992 was one of the first ones that was rejected in 1789. You know, Mayor, I told you there were several that were sent and only a few were accepted. That's Amendment 27. Congressional pay raises was the last amendment that they passed. No law varying in the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect till an election of representatives shall have intervened. That was one they couldn't get through first go round. What do you think Patrick Henry and the anti-federalists might think about what's become of this nation that they helped create and love so dearly? So dearly that they were willing to give their lives if they could not have liberty. Do you think they'd be pleased? Do you think they'd be disappointed? Me too. What do you think they'd say about this past week's Supreme Court rulings on the Affordable Health Care Act and marriage? Don't you imagine they'd be shocked? First of all, because such things are being ruled upon. I think they'd be shocked by the simple fact that they were ruling upon these things. Secondly, because the court has the power to rule on such things. I think they'd be shocked. I think they'd tell us that that's not how it's supposed to work, guys. That's not why there are three branches. Don't you imagine they might be a little perturbed? As much as has been said here already this morning, as we spent time in prayer and we spent time testifying, don't you think that they would be somewhat perturbed at the citizens of this once great nation for letting things get so far out of whack in the first place? You ever heard of Pastor Joe Wright? Not surprised if you haven't, because his notoriety really has subsided of late. He was most well known, if I can get my tongue really straight, about 20 years ago, January 23rd, 1996. He was asked to give the invocation at the Kansas State Legislature. I have a recording of that invocation. Now, as we're listening to this recording, keep in mind that this was almost 20 years ago. 20 years ago that he said this.
Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. Lord, we know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that's exactly what we've done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
How do you think that went over? I think he needs to, too. He was just a pastor asked to bring the prayer. Several had got up and left about halfway through. Several more had run down and waited in line for the microphone and said that he cannot talk about us that way. Several, the ones that we probably vote for, the same party, they were completely behind him. His church stopped counting after some 7,000 calls came in. Most of them thanked him for his words. They said there were less than 10 people out of that over 7,000 that they counted at first and the many, many thousand after that that complained about what he said. The majority of the people called in thanked him. But keep in mind, this was 20 years ago. This wasn't today. This was 20 years ago when today started happening. Came across, had no intention to bring this up, but something I thought about is before the service started and we were reacting the way we were. I thought about when they bombed Pearl Harbor. Some of you guys were around when that happened. And it had to seem like the end of the world, didn't it? But I remember as the Japanese were celebrating their victory in this decisive battle and how they just caught us sleeping and wiped us out. I remember the one, I think he was an admiral, I'm not sure, but he was on the Japanese side. And he said, I fear that we've woken a sleeping giant. Then I thought about 9/11 and how our country reacted and how the church reacted. Then I thought about how we were reacting this morning and how it had stirred us and revived us. You know, God's ways aren't our ways. Maybe what this sleeping giant, which has become the church, needs is a wake-up call. Maybe we need to understand that Pastor Joel Wright prayed this prayer 20 years ago, and he was talking about the very issues that we're talking about this morning. Except now those issues have become law. Maybe the church needs to wake up. All that being said, what are we as Christians? What are we as the church to do about what's going on in the world around us? Let's see what God's Word has to say about it. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, 9 through 17. Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Church, we have to understand that's us. That's who we're called to be. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, as we come before You this morning, Father, we come with heavy hearts. But Lord, we pray that You would turn our heavy hearts into a burden. Into a burden that we cannot overcome, Lord. Into a burden that we must struggle against, that we must stand against. Lord, give us a burden for these people. Lord, they're lost. They're as lost as they can be, as lost as we once were. Lord, give us a burden that we would live the truth in front of them, that they would see the truth because the truth is in us, that they would not only see the truth, Lord, but that they would see the love. The same love that brought you to Calvary's cross. The same love that caused you to rise up out of that tomb. The same love that drew us to You. Lord, we pray they can see it in us. We pray that the church have such a burden to serve You. Lord, that the desire, the drive, the foundation of that burden, Lord, would be to see their souls saved, to see them come to the truth of Your gospel as we have. Lord, may we be the vessels that You have appointed us to be, and may we understand that You're still appointing, that You're still on the throne, that nothing has changed. These circumstances They don't reflect upon you at all. You are God. You alone are God. May that truth reign supreme in our lives. May we stand upon it. May we cling desperately to it. And may the world be made different because of it. We love you this morning, Lord Jesus. We praise you in all things. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Now, don't say it out loud, but be honest this morning. How did verses 13 to 17 make you feel? Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. If we're being honest this morning, that ain't what we're going to do, is it? That's not what we want to do at all. I've told some of you in private, I won't tell you who it was. I don't know who it was. I don't know who she was. I just know she was here during a funeral dinner. I know she had to be almost 80 years old. I know she was about this tall. I know she was a sweetheart of a little lady. She was just as sweet as she could be. We were in line together walking up to eat, and she said something to me I'll never forget. We were talking, the conversation came into politics, and she started talking about our president. And this little sweet lady, and she's about like that, she said, I pray every day that somebody would kill that man. I couldn't do what you did, but I wanted to, but I don't know what to say. But she was as serious as she could be. She said, I pray every day that somebody would kill that man. I explained to her I wasn't sure that the Lord was going to honor that prayer, and that we had to understand that that man was in charge over us because he was appointed by the Lord. Church, we have to understand that. We do. You know, not all of Israel that was carried into captivity, not all of them were disobeying. Not all of them were worshiping idols, but all of them got carried away, didn't they? We live in this country. We are Americans. Our country has gone astray. Our country, I don't know how she could be much farther off course than where she is right now. She was founded upon the principles of this word. She was. But she's so far from those principles. But we have to understand, we can't, as that dear little lady, pray for that. That's not what God has appointed us to. That's not the vessels that he intends us to be. He intends us to be vessels of his gospel, living out the truth of his gospel before a lost and dying world. Certainly we can see the reality of a lost and dying world. She is all around us. All around us. We have to understand that's not what God's called us to do. We have to start that by understanding that God is still God. God is still in control. But when we look at those verses of Scripture, that's not what we want, is it? We'd rather talk about how wrong they are. We'd rather point out, and I'm saying we, church, I'm right here with you. We're all human. We all feel the same way. Talk about how they're wrong. We'd like to point out their faults. We'd like to tell them that they're stupid. We really would. If we'd be honest, we'd admit that this morning. I know I've said this a bunch, but there's a way that's guided by my own understanding, and it seems right, but in truth, that way leads to death. That's the way you and I, as Christians, have to turn away from. That way that is according to our own understanding that seems right to us. We have to turn away from that. More now than ever before, we have to turn away from that. And I know I've said this a lot too, because we'll never overcome sin by pointing sin out. You know what you got from me when I was lost if you pointed out my sin? You got to meet my evil twin. I'm just being honest. I was never going to stop sinning because you made me know I was a sinner. I wasn't. The only way we're going to overcome sin is by pointing sinners to Jesus Christ. He's the answer for sin. He's always been the answer. He was always going to be the answer. Even in the garden, he was always the answer. He was never plan B. He was always the plan. The only way to the Father is through the Son. He's the only way. He's the way we found forgiveness. We didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it either. They don't. We don't have to say that they do. Something else I came across this week that's not on my notes. A little friend of mine had something posted on Facebook. Facebook's not a terrible tool. It's just a tool. You can take a shovel, you can dig a hole, you can take a shovel, hit somebody over the head and put them in the hole. It's just a tool. Facebook's just a tool. This little buddy of mine, she had something on there. It was this pastor talking about the sin of homosexuality. How that sin is different. And I said, sin is sin. I got to read this and see what it says. He had a wonderful perspective. He really did. Not that I already didn't have it, but I agreed with him completely. We're all sinners, right? We know that. If we said this morning, sinners line up here, we'd all have to get in line, right? We're saved but for grace. What he explained, and what is really, it's very profound and true, is that homosexuality is no worse than adultery. But we know adultery is wrong, don't we? Now our society is starting to get to a place where it doesn't see so much wrong in it unless you get caught. But we know it's wrong, and most of the, in general, society believes it's wrong too, right? But not homosexuality. That's how it's different. They're trying to force us to say it's right. And we cannot. We cannot. But we have to love those people. They're lost. They're no more lost than somebody who's committed adultery. They're no more lost than somebody who's cheated on their taxes. They're no more lost. It's sin. But we have to stand as God's people. And we have to stand in such a fashion that they see Christ in us. Not judgment, but Christ. I got myself way off course with that. Back to what we see in those verses of Scripture. It's only natural for us to want to point fingers. It's only natural for us to be angry because things are being taken away from us. We were raised on the best place on the planet. There's never been a country like this country. That's the truth. So it's okay for us to be upset when we see what's going on around us. But we have to understand that those are human feelings. And we have to understand that God's ways aren't our ways. We're not going to accomplish anything. I seen a ton of stuff. If you're on Facebook, you guys saw it too this week. A ton of stuff. I seen a ton of stuff by people who I know for certain, young people and old people, they don't darken the door of a church anywhere. But they claim they know more about the Word than anybody. And they had a picture of, they were supposed to be pastors, I guess. They had ties and stuff on it. They were standing around this poor guy draped in a rainbow-colored flag, and they were beating him with the Bibles. You know, they think they know so much about it. And they're trying to drive us back into the dark with images like that and stuff like that. We can't let that happen. We have to stand in the light. We cannot agree with what they're doing. We can agree that God loves them. We can agree that He loves them so much that He died in their place. and we can stand in love for them. But we can't let them push us back. We can't look at those verses of scripture that I just read and get angry about them. But they are saying and doing things that are wrong. And they are saying that what's wrong is right. And what they're doing, I'm not saying what they're doing is not stupid. It is. It is. But the scripture says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, and to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers or for the praise of those who do good. Honor all people. Honor the king. Now those last three words, when I said them, we all envisioned the same person, didn't we? We know who the king is, right? It's probably not who we envisioned when I read those words. There's only one King of Kings. There's only one Lord of Lords. But this man that has put himself into the position of king over us, has he put himself there?
Yes.
Has God allowed it? Has God allowed it? Did he sneak in somehow and Christ didn't know it was going to happen? Did Jesus look down and say, sorry, America, didn't see that one coming. Didn't know he would gain that power. Didn't know he'd get that many of the Supreme Court justices on his side. Didn't see it coming. If that wasn't enough, and it should be, here's another one. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Vote. For crying out loud, vote. Speak. Stand against. Vote according to your conscience. Vote according to God's word. I stood right here, I don't know if it was the last election or the one before. Both of them went the wrong way. But I stood right here and I said, guys, I'm not going to tell you how to vote. But I will tell you, of the two candidates that are running, there's only one you can vote for according to God's word. I offended people. They let me know it. They haven't been back since. I hate that. I do. But I'd say it again. I just said it again. It's still true. If one candidate says it's okay to kill unborn babies, and one candidate says it's not, now this candidate may not stop it, but he at least says it's wrong. Because we know it's wrong, right? How can we vote for this guy when he says it's right? You see what they're doing to us? They're pushing us back into the dark, and they're bringing us into their sin. We cannot let them do that. We cannot let them do that. Because when we stand before a holy, righteous God, I'm not going to answer for their sin. I'm going to answer for mine. Where does revival need to start? It needs to restart in me. It needs to start in you. We're holding Christianity within us. We are the vessels God has appointed us to be. We need to understand that. We need to stand accordingly. Live accordingly. Be that vessel. Cling to Him as tight as we can. And we better. Because it's getting dark. I don't know what our kids are going to see, but I fear for our grandkids. We talked a lot this morning about being afraid. I'm afraid for them. I'm afraid for them. What if we haven't built a strong enough foundation? What if they haven't seen the truth, realized enough in me that they know it's the truth? What if? What if they start to believe these things they're telling them? What if they start to believe you're born that way? A guy I grew up with, triathlon, I think is what he won, wasn't it, in the Olympics? He's a girl now. What if they start to believe he had to be a girl? People are claiming he's a hero for coming out and talking about that. What if they start to believe that? Where are they going to see the difference? They need to see it in me. They need to see it in us. Vote according to your conscience, especially according to God's word. But also understand, God is God. He's the only one that is. He is sovereign. There is no other. Those who rule us are according to His will. The United States of America is getting exactly what she deserves. You do not abort 55 million babies and expect to be treated as one nation under God. It doesn't matter who they put on our currency anymore, because that's not who we are anyway. We are getting what we deserve. We have to understand that as His church, as His people. So, that being said, and I hope understood, and I hope understood in love, what are we Christians to do? Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In case we need another little boost of inspiration to get us there. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. For those of us who know Jesus Christ, this planet is no more than a station. It's just a stopping place. It's just a place for us to wait until we reach our destination. Right? For those of us that know Christ, we are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We're just traveling through until we get home. So abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Now I know according to Old Testament we are Gentiles, but I'm looking at lost and saved. That when they speak evil against you or speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We don't need to get so caught up in this place that we allow this place to steal the truth away from our life. As bad as this is, at best, it's just temporary. I think I've shared this before. I may misquote it because it's been so long. I don't have it in front of me and I'm not very bright anymore. But a gentleman once said, again on Facebook, that he got to thinking about all the things that were going on and he realized that as bad as it is here, this is as close as he'll ever get to hell because he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then another thought came to him. He thought about people we're talking about this morning. People I just call Gentiles, people that are lost, and how sad it is for those people unless they change their condition. As bad as this place is, it's as close as they'll ever get to heaven. Unless they repent and turn to Christ, they'll never see heaven's glory. We need to understand that. We need to view life in such a fashion that this is just a temporary place. We need to live this life with our focus on eternity. We won't worry about who's sitting on the throne then, will we? We won't have to worry about all the injustices that are taking place around us, all the foolishness. They put a rainbow on the White House. On the White House. He said it was his house. I think we paid for that. Nothing like that's going to take place. This is just temporary. If we will keep our focus on eternity, that stuff won't have to pull us down. That stuff won't have to pull us into it. We can rise above it because we know that this is just temporary. Living our life in that fashion will cause us to come closer to the vessel that He's called us to be. This is just a place for us to wait until we reach our destination. My goodness. But that's not how Satan wants us to see it, is it? He wants us to think it's a place we got to fix, with residents that we got to correct. Can you or I stop anyone from sinning? Here's a question to bring it closer to home. Can we even fix the sin that's in our own life? How are you doing stopping yourself from slipping into sin? Pretty tough, isn't it? That's why Jesus had to come. It's impossible. None of us can stand before a holy, righteous God of our own merit and hear anything but depart from me. The only way any of us will see heaven's glory is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. So what are we Christians to do? Well, Pastor Bob, you better step it up a little bit because it's late. What are we supposed to do for the world around us? First and foremost, we need to understand you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who have not attained mercy but now have obtained mercy. You're qualified. Not because you're qualified, but because God qualified you. You are a chosen generation. None of these things that have happened this week happened by accident. None of them. None of us are here by accident. We are who God has chosen for this time. That's my prayer for all of us. That we be who God has appointed us to be. And whatever that means. But understand, that might not mean what you want it to mean. We want to win every situation. We want to prove to them that we're right and they're wrong. You may not see that. God may ask us to go to jail. I may get a prison ministry after all. But we may get to. We may get to. We may get to have a prison ministry. But we have to be prepared for it. We have to be prepared to stand in the truth and to do so in love. To do so in love. God is God, as I said earlier. He's completely sovereign. None of these things are taking place around us or a surprise to Him. But please, 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 please understand and see this. They're occurring during our watch. And the fact that they're occurring during our watch is not happenstance. It's not accidental. If it is, then God's not God, and God is God. They're occurring during our watch. They're not a surprise to Him. Then we are the church that He's appointed to stand, to handle it. I got to say, I was blessed this morning by what I seen going on. I got to tell you, that's God appointed. God has took what they meant for evil and He's used it for good in your hearts. Because He's already revived you and riled you up inside. He's already caused you to see that maybe you're not doing enough. That's good. Because all we have to do to get these people to see the truth is live the truth in front of them. Point them to Jesus. We're not going to fix their sin. Nobody could fix our sin but Jesus. That's the direction we need to point them. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That's us. That's who He has made us. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And we are the vessels God has purposed us and chosen us to be. And that is my prayer for all of us. I've got some more scripture here, but I'm going to let it go. I'm just going to tell you, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are His own special people. If they are going to find their way out of the darkness of sin, if they are going to see what they're calling good to be evil, that's who we have to be. That's who we have to understand that we are. We're not going to get them to understand it by just saying that they're wrong. We're not. We're going to get them to understand it by standing in the right, by loving them in spite. A year or so ago when I was preaching on the people from the Voice of the martyrs, I think I chose 5 or 7 of them to preach about. Do you remember how even while they were being beaten by these Russian guards, they were praying out loud, saying these Russian guards' names out loud, asking God to forgive them? They were a chosen generation. They were a royal priesthood. That's who God has called us to be too. That's the only way we're going to get them to see the truth, the heir of their way, by submitting ourselves completely to Christ, becoming the vessel He's called us to be. The only way to the Father is through the Son. That's the only way. That's the only way they can be saved. It's the only way we could be saved. It's the only way we could be His church. It's through Jesus Christ. We have a song of invitation. I apologize. I don't know that I went long. I'll be able to tell you later when I see the tape how long I took. But we went long, and I apologize for that. But church, please, please understand. God's arm has not been shortened because of what the Supreme Court said. Nothing that happened this week was a surprise to Him at all. He knew all about it. He allowed it to happen. Maybe so that we'll wake up. Maybe so we'll see the truth. Would you all stand, please?